When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time to get sexy. So watch Secular Sexuality live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTSS and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callsex.
Everybody, welcome to Talk Heathen. Today is Sunday, November 13th, 2022. I'm your host, student Dr. Ben, and joining me today is the one, the only, Johnny P. Angel. How you been, buddy?
This is just me. Just me. I've been great. I've been sick as a dog, and I'm feeling a lot better. Feeling a lot better.
That's good. So you're feeling better?
Yeah. If I cough on you out there, I'm sorry, but feeling a lot better, and I'm happy to be here with you, Ben.
Oh, yeah. I'm always excited to be on with Johnny P, and I'm glad that you're feeling well enough today to take some calls. And speaking of calls, Talk Heathen is a live call-in show, and we have open lines. So if you want to talk to us about religion, or you want to tell us why your pastor is an authority on history, on science, if you want to talk to us about intelligent design, on morality, what have you, you can call into the show at 512-991-9242, or you can use your computer and call from tiny.cc/callth. So while we're getting these calls screened, I want to go over a few announcements with you. Talk Heathen is a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, which is a 501c3 organization dedicated to the promotion of atheism, critical thinking, secular humanism, and the separation of religion and government. And if you like what you see here, you can support us on Patreon. You can go to tiny.cc/Patreon. You can also become a channel member. Click the join button below the video. You'll get custom chat emotes, including there's one of me face palming, which is a very flattering picture of me. And doing that, you will help perpetuate the mission of Talk Heathen and the Atheist Community of Austin. There's also a fundraiser in the live chat. 100% of the proceeds go directly to the ACA, and YouTube does not take any cut of that. But if you are not financially able to support, but still like what's going on here, you can also support by liking the video, subscribing to the channel, enable those notifications, and make sure to comment below on your favorite caller. Continue the discussion in the side chat and in the comments below. So that being said, I have something that I wanted to talk to Johnny about, and this is something that kind of inspired the poll in the side chat for today. And it's the idea of expertise and subject matter experts, and I know that Johnny talks a lot about this on the show, and especially with things related to scientific misinformation or debates about history, debates about archaeology, we see pastors and other religious leaders having these conversations and being platformed as equal experts to other people in the fields of history and archaeology, etc. So, Johnny, do you have any thoughts about this topic in general? Or
I have lots of thoughts about this topic in general. I read a book not too long ago called The Death of Expertise. I don't remember the name of the author, but I enjoyed it. And it got me thinking about the fact that we live in a democratic republic where everyone, ideally, has an equal vote, ideally. And that's, I think, a good thing. Even when I see people, conspiracy theorists, uninformed people, hate mongers, idiots out there with the same vote as me, the idea that all of us have an equal say, ideally, in how our society is run, or at least we can contribute our voice. That's not the same as each of us has a valid opinion that deserves equal treatment because we have equal rights, we deserve equal respect. You were talking about pastors, preachers, other types of con men who are asked about their opinions about non-preachy, talky things like politics or science or medicine or philosophy. And I think that is the problem. It's a slightly different problem from the one that I've identified, which is that any Tom, Dick, and Harry thinks that they have an equal opinion to a postdoctoral student who's studying a very, very precise part of physics, on physics. But this is sort of a different problem where they are leaders and in their church because they know a lot about one subject, and then they go on about something that their opinion is on equal footing as any of their parishioners, not necessarily more informed. And that's bothersome. I don't like it when actors get involved too much. Like, thanks, Leo DiCaprio. Thank you for weighing in on climate change. Thank you for using your platform to make statements. Thank you, Bono, for having something to say about whatever it is you're talking about. But you're not an expert. Maybe just use your platform to bring in experts, right? Instead of just talking. That's my thought.
Yeah, and definitely. And I'm thinking this the same way, especially what we're seeing throughout the pandemic has been preachers getting up and saying their opinions on vaccine safety and mask issues and all that. And you have these people who don't have expertise going to these churches and hearing, well, the CDC says this one thing, but my pastor says this other thing. And well, my pastor has been ordained by God to have the correct information, so therefore I should listen to my pastor. When you look at a lot of the qualifications for pastors, many of them go to seminaries, which primarily teach on their specific brand of their specific religion. Right. So sure, they might take a class in Hebrew, they might take a class in church history, but that doesn't mean that they are a historian. That does not mean that they have the expertise to really evaluate the translations of the Bible. Like, it's like if I said I took a class in intro to biology, therefore I am an expert in evolution, that's not really the case. And while you are allowed to have your opinion, you shouldn't necessarily be platformed to the same extent as somebody who has the nuanced understanding of our particular field. So that was just something that bothered me a little bit this week. So
yeah. Yeah, and it is bothersome. But I think that it's not just preachers and folks like that, right? I think that there is a confusion between celebrity and informed person. There is a confusion between leader and informed person, right? I can look to Star Trek if I wanted to find examples of fictional leaders who aren't necessarily experts in a field, but who, when doing good leadership, turn to experts to evaluate that expert's opinion on a particular subject. But there's a shortcut. I think that humanity may be wired for this, or society is wired for it, to see people whose faces are in front of the camera or in front of large crowds. And because they are in front of, like, nothing draws a crowd like a crowd, nothing inspires adoration and followership than to see somebody in front of a large crowd or in a venue or a media format that has a lot of people. I'm not talking about anybody specific here, but it happens all the time. Again, really glad that Leo DiCaprio has an opinion on climate change, but he's not an expert. Preachers aren't experts. What they are experts in, probably, is public speaking, right? I've tried cases on, geological issues, okay, with like hydrodynamics and stuff like that in the past, allegedly. And I am not an expert on that subject. What I have done is I have consulted with multiple experts on those subjects, and I have worked with those experts to, and I don't want to say dumb it down in an insulting way, dumb it down so that I can understand it, and then try to frame those matters in a way that the jury or the judge can understand so that they can make a decision, whether it's legal or factual, to resolve a dispute, right? That does not make me any step closer to being an expert, because that's just public speaking and I don't know, reason and argument formation, right? It's a problem. And what else also is a problem is when we see preachers in politics, again, public speaking, the ability to speak well, does not make you a statesman. It just makes you play one on TV. That's my thought on that.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe part of this is related to availability of information and potentially the fact that a lot of these people can take an issue and make it make sense to the general public? Maybe something that a pastor says related to science might be more understandable than somebody who is an expert in the field, but maybe lacks communication ability. I do know that that might be something that is hindering the conversation is the lack of communication at the appropriate level for the audience. Do you think that that plays into it?
It sure does. Don't get me started on engineers as expert testifying witnesses. Don't get me started, Ben, on that subject. I love my engineers, but I want to beat them over the head with an iron rod every time one of them gets on the stand to try to testify, because it's an entirely different world when we're talking, well, is it possible that a comet could have caused the collapse of the building? Well, it's possible. Wrong answer, engineer. The answer is, yes, I suppose that is hypothetically possible. However, I'm willing to bet my entire 401k that did not happen. And there's a million reasons why that did not happen. But sometimes people don't understand how to frame their knowledge in a way that makes sense to regular folks. And so I think that sometimes regular folks, myself included, can look at an expert and say, I don't understand that. Therefore, they probably don't understand it either, or they don't know what they're talking about. That's just gobbledygook. and therefore I'm not going to believe them. Whereas this other person speaks using small words and is applying concepts that I use in my everyday life. Therefore, that must be more true. You know, there's a truth to the fact that if you can't explain something to a regular non-expert, then you don't understand it. I would say that your knowledge is almost useless if you can't walk somebody through the process. There's that YouTube series, I think it's wired.com, does that with explaining difficult concepts from everyone from like a kindergartner all the way up to a graduate student or to an expert. Have you seen that one, Ben?
I have not seen it.
It's really good. They did blockchain. They do, you know, various scientific concepts, and it starts with explaining it in the simplest terms to an earnest little kindergartner, and they go to an elementary school kid, high school kid, college student, graduate student. I think they even talk to other experts, and you get to see how you need to frame things in a way. Nevertheless, none of those people that they talk to are experts. So,
yeah, a very interesting topic. And if anybody in the chat or anybody listening wants to weigh in on this particular conversation, please call into the show. We'd love to hear your arguments for our side or arguments against our side. Bring us your discussion. I'd be really interested to hear your thoughts on the matter.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But we do have a call that I am interested in taking, and this might be an interesting one. Are you ready for some calls, Johnny?
That I am.
You are. All right. So we're going to talk to Bill, pronouns are he, him, in Pennsylvania. Bill, you are live on Talk Heathen. What would you like to talk about today?
Oh, hi, Ben. Yeah, both of you can weigh in on this. It's just probably this topic has been done to death. If a male goes through puberty and then transitions into a woman and then decides to go out for sports, aren't they, what's the kind of the secular take on that? Aren't they at an advantage? I can recall, I'm 75, so I can remember back in, I think it was the 70s, Rene Richards, the tennis playing dentist, transitioned into a woman and then started competing with women. I think he, I don't know whether he actually won a tournament or not. Anyway, that's it. You get the idea. What's the explanatory strategy with that?
So before I go into exactly the data that I have, because of course I've argued this issue on many occasions, but what I'm curious about what your thoughts are on it and your reasoning behind your perspective.
Oh, well, I'm not hostile to anyone trans. You know, that's perfectly fine. It's just this one very narrow, specific focus issue. Anything else, I don't see a big difference. It's just the sports thing, and I don't think that's a big deal. I mean, after all, it's just sports.
So I'm curious your thought process with how we got to because I know a lot of people have this intuitive idea that there's a difference, of course, between someone that went through male puberty and someone didn't. Do you think that how you arrived at that conclusion is based on data that you've gathered? Or do you think that that thought is based on intuition and the common sense of, well, of course there's a difference? Or is there some other reason why you'd think that way?
I mean, maybe a little unconscious hostility or something. I don't really think that's it. But I've had a couple of units of anatomy and physiology, and I understand what goes on in puberty. Just, you know, it's pretty, I think everybody does. But it's just kind of a physics thing, really. I think that's how I arrived at it. Just, yeah, these, once you've gone, I have a nephew that's now my niece, and he's competing in sports, and he's talked about going, you know, competing with women. He's 6 feet tall.
So I want to clarify, I know you're trying your best,
sorry,
but when we're talking about, if we're talking about someone in your family who is your niece now, I think we should address them using their proper pronouns. So if I'd rather we talk about them as she or they, or unless they've specifically said to you that they want to go by he, just out of respect for them.
I misspoke there. I should have said, I was talking about when he was a he, and now he's a she. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
So the issue that we get with a lot of this process is that it is a very intuitive thought process between, well, it makes sense to me that the science is this way, but you look at the data and we're seeing that people, regardless of the puberty that they went through, hormones do play a factor in their athletic abilities and their muscle mass. And there are studies that a lot of people that are not supportive of trans people in sports, that they misrepresent the data because it goes along with the intuition. And they'll change the graphs that they're showing, not representative of the actual community. So we're seeing that studies done featuring recruits in the U.S. Air Force showing their PT scores before and after HRT, the hormone replacement therapy. They're showing that they are performing at similar levels to cisgender women. We're seeing that pretty much across the board. And
really?
a lot of the studies that show that are trying to be used to show an advantage is not comparing trans women with cis women. It's comparing trans women with cis men. And that is a huge problem because they're different populations entirely. And in fact, we have studies showing that trans women oftentimes already come from a physiological disadvantage compared to the majority of cis men. So even if you take this on averages, it's a dishonest representation of the data that we're seeing. So what are your thoughts? I kind of want to let Johnny get in here if he has any opinions on this.
I'm more interested in what research Bill's done. Bill, I'm not. I've been accused of saying, well, did you take a class in it? Do you work for a lab? When people start making cosmological arguments, or these kind of things, arguments on about physics and stuff. That's not what I'm after. I'm just trying to figure out. I'm trying to gauge from you, what work have you put in before you came to have this conversation?
Oh,
I'm not saying you shouldn't have called in.
Yeah.
I appreciate you did. But like, what have you done? I want to hear where you've looked, what you found, and how much time you spent on it. Because that helps us understand you.
Well, just mainly stuff on the internet. Mostly YouTube. I listen to all the secular shows mostly every week. This one and Atheist Experience and which one is this? Is this Talk Even or Truth Wanted? I can't remember. and all the rest of them. So it's mainly discussions there, which are all LGBT friendly, which I consider myself to be. Like I said to Dan, it's just this one kind of narrow. And I was getting my, this isn't a beastly hell belief or anything.
I think I'm getting it. Then what I would say is this, that this topic is very emotionally charged because it is adjacent to a lot of action on the part of certain politicians and religious groups.
Right. Yeah.
Who are trying to deny the reality of a significant portion of our fellow human siblings, right? Not billions, not maybe even many millions, but a significant portion of millions of people who are transgender. And rather than attack those individuals directly, although they do that, certain groups have fixated on the idea of sports because a lot of the science is ongoing. A lot of what we're learning about is ongoing. It is active. It is a new frontier of scientific discovery that is charged with politics and emotions and a lot of other issues. And so I'm not saying that you're doing this, but a lot of people are throwing around opinions. But what Ben is suggesting and what is trying to highlight here is that we're not focusing in this conversation about the politics or the emotions or the philosophical ramifications of transgender people in sports. We're actually talking about the science. And I know that I have attended continuing legal education courses talking about the state of the law, which leans heavily, surprisingly, on the ongoing scientific research that's being done in this area. I'm happy to say that the CLE, the continuing legal education course that I took, looked at the science, looked at what the regulatory agencies, which are looking at the science, were doing. I'm not saying they get it perfect, but I'm saying that the focus was not on, what about girls in sports? No, they were looking at the actual science of it. They were not asking about Jesus or Vishnu or whatever, or Thor. They were actually looking at the science and trying to determine the best course for the greatest good, to minimize the damages to all individuals concerned, and try to chart a course to the reality that we live in, which is there are some transgender people who want to play sports. I don't want to play sports, but there are some transgender people who do. And so how do we make that happen without unduly alienating and isolating those individuals, incorporating them into the world of competitive sports? And I think it's a great question. And I wish that the pundits would shut their faces and let the experts talk about it. So that really is all I have to say about it, because I'm not an expert. My opinions on this are largely emotionally based, politically based, because I don't have the scientific knowledge. I defer to people who are very knowledgeable about this, but also I'm willing to hold back my opinion and allow the process to continue. But Ben is much more in this world for many reasons. Medicine, it largely, is a reason for it. So that's, yeah.
And
that's all I got to say about it, really.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Bill, before I kind of want to go on a little chat with you? But I want you to be able to respond to Johnny, and then I'll ask you my question.
Well, I think I want to ask you a question. So what is your, do you think this is just, I don't know if red herring is the right word. I mean, is this just a non-issue, really, that it encompasses such a tiny little fraction of of women's sport that is just so...
I think a big issue here too is the fact that people are arguing about this issue as a broad whole of athletics and trans people, when different sports have different skills that they need to utilize. Different body types are favored in different athletic activities. And so this is kind of where I wanted to go with you more on this conversation. Like, thinking about sports as a whole, what factors would make somebody have an advantage in sports? Like, not even just biologically, but what makes somebody good at sports?
Well, you can't say it's just testosterone, because there are certainly very passionate female athletes that don't necessarily have all the testosterone, who probably almost as aggressive as a lot of men. They maybe don't get into as many fights and stuff. But so what was your question again? What's the advantage other than physical?
Well, just in general, what makes people, what are some factors that make people good at sports?
Oh, just the way they're glued together.
Okay, yeah. What about
physiology? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's part of it. What about things like strategy? Would you agree that many sports rely on having a game plan?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you have to.
Does that rely on physiology?
No.
Could somebody and what about training? Does training factor in?
Yeah.
What about timing? And even if someone just had a good day versus someone had a bad day, does that factor into who's going to win in a certain sport?
Well, you should that. Yeah.
So we have a lot of variables that can make somebody good at a sport. And let's say I'm going to pick a sport that I do because it makes sense for this analogy, but take wrestling. I have two people that are going to be wrestling, and one is a cisgender male and one is a cisgender female. They both weigh 135 pounds. So kind of small for a male, kind of average size for a female. Do you think that the cis male would win on the grounds that he is male?
Yes. Yes. No, not.
You think that that's the reason that he would win?
I think probably his muscle mass is better, is denser. Now, if she's better trained and faster than him, that's a big thing, too.
Right, so you'd say that the male, just because he is male, would not necessarily win every time, right?
He wouldn't win, but he would have an advantage because he's like, if he's, how old are these kids? Are these 16, 17?
They're both the
kids?
Same age. They're both 20 years old.
Well, 20. Oh, so they got to puberty. Well, sure. The wrestling is there's a certain significant strength component in wrestling. And
yeah, also, there is a strength component, but think about the technique component. What about things like flexibility? What about things like agility, which might favor a smaller body type? Do you think that that might factor in as an advantage for the woman? Why is that not seen as a physiological advantage, but the strength and muscle mass is?
Because probably the strength and muscle mass is more significant, will factor in more.
How did you determine that it was more significant? Where did you get that?
I just pulled that out of the nearest orifice I could find.
Right. So here's the problem. Society, the way that we think about it, is biased to favor masculinity. In this case, we haven't done the math most of the time. Most of us have not done the math on what constitutes a greater advantage in that setting. So it's not really a good way to approach the problem. And the fact is that people have done these studies and have shown that this physiology might not be as big of a factor as we make it out to be. And that's where a lot of the debate is coming down to, people that are saying this is a significant advantage, whereas the science doesn't necessarily agree. So what are your thoughts on that? Or if Johnny wants to jump in as well.
I do want to jump in, and I want to take it in an entirely different direction. Supposing that there are certain physiological advantages that male puberty grants to the recipient, okay?
Okay.
Supposing that there are certain angles or something like that that were to, that a person who went through male puberty had a higher likelihood of receiving those particular advantages, right? I remember there's something about hip angle, Ben. Is there an advantage with regard to pelvic angle or something like that that people who went through male puberty might get versus a person who did not go through male puberty?
Somebody, a woman who has gone through puberty and has...
Hold on, Bill. Ben, you're on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hold on. Okay. There isn't any evidence currently that would suggest that there is a difference with regard to that, or that at least that it's not a significant difference, or that it plays a role in an advantage.
Okay, what about fast twitch muscle fibers? What about something like that? Is that something that...
That actually favors females in the study that we're seeing. We're seeing denser quantities of fast twitch fibers in females than we do in males a lot of the time. And we actually see advantages within events such as endurance, cardiac activities. We see advantages with cis females over cis males. So there's a lot of factors that are not really taken into consideration. And I think a lot of it's related to society's assumption that females are by default athletically inferior.
Well,
so
are there any factors that might give an advantage to someone who went through male puberty? I'm going somewhere with this. Is there any advantage, Ben?
Potentially.
Okay. And would it be fair to say that a person who did not go through female or through male puberty, that to the extent that that particular individual has similar structures, factors, features in their body, that might give them an advantage in that particular sport as well? Is that something that is possible to your understanding?
For me, can you clarify that like a little bit?
Yeah. See, I don't know. This is the thing. I don't care about sports. I actually don't give a flying shit about sports. I don't watch it. Whenever I'm forced to do it out of a sense of community, I get bored out of my mind. So I can't give you any specific examples. But assuming that there's an advantage that many people who went through male puberty get from going through male puberty, if there is a person who did not go through male puberty, but they also enjoy those factors, certain small percentage of people who did not go through male puberty might enjoy that as well, right? And that might deliver them faster, greater endurance, faster speed. I don't know what, better angles on their hips and ankles or something like that. Then those individuals would excel in the particular sport. So all that you're really doing is that a person who went through male puberty who then transitions to female puberty now is in the same position as a female athlete who did not go through male puberty who might have those same advantages, right?
Yep, exactly.
It's like, if there were something that gave a person who went through male puberty an advantage, it's almost like they are now one of the lucky female individuals who did not go through male puberty And now they have that advantage too, but not because they were exceptionally lucky in the genetics department of being born male, but having gone through being a fortunate female to have those factors. They may have that factor because they were born male and they still have those factors. So again, it's such a complicated question that when we look at it from 50,000 feet, it becomes almost nonsensical. And so I turn to the experts on this one. And honestly, my concern is not with transgender athletes. It's important for those kids and those athletes who've dedicated thousands of hours to excel at a particular field. Honestly, the bigger fight is with basic rights, healthcare, bathroom rights, housing, voting. The statistics that show that teenagers are so likely to kill themselves because our society is so screwed up when it comes to transgender and generally LGBTQ people, that, yeah, it's interesting for us to sit here and talk about sports and that advantage. And I hate for the perfect argument to be the enemy of the good argument here, but honestly, I don't care about sports. There's so many bigger issues with regards to transgender people that we've got to solve those, because people are actually dying on those issues. So
yeah, and with that, we've been on this call for a while, and I've enjoyed having this conversation with you, Bill. I'll give you a quick second if you want to respond to what Johnny just said, and then I think we're going to move on to the next call. Does that sound all right with you?
No, you just go ahead and move on to the next call. That's okay. I think we probably exhausted this subject. I think I have a little more ammunition if somebody brings up that argument.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If they start tying into transgender people in sports, start talking about kids killing themselves, you know, start talking about, people who are just trying to survive and live a life that's livable to them, and how there are those who use fucking Jesus to try to take that away from them. That's like hitting them over the head with a frying pan because they're concerned about the order of the silverware. That's in the drawer. That's my thought on this. But not that I'm faulting you for asking this question. This is something that, again, is interesting to me, but there's bigger issues. And I think there's enough of a cloud of lack of knowledge at this point where we can focus on those bigger issues, and we'll get to those. And the science will continue to progress, especially if we give the scientists the political freedom and funding to explore those things and make a decision based upon what reality dictates, not what, I don't know, someone's pastor has to say about the subject. I don't think you're doing that. I think you're fallen prey. You've taken the bait, or you don't want to take the bait. You want to shift the dynamic. And that's how I suggested. Get out of the sports issue. Start talking about the big issues. But thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, thank you, Bill, for calling in, and I'd be happy to have this conversation continued with you some other time, but we are going to move on to the next one. So before we go to the next call, just a couple more announcements. Make sure after this show right now that you stay tuned for the newest episode of the flagship show of the ACA, The Nonprofits, which will air live at 3 p.m. Central Time today at tiny.cc/YTNP. Johnny, what do you got in store for Nonprofits this week?
Can I tell you about it? I do want to tell you about it. We've got Kelly Laughlin, Cynthia.
Tell us about it.
Richard Gilliver, and our special guest, Jason Friedman. And they are going to be talking about an assortment of topics and as follows: humanistic psychology, secular British Columbia being on the rise, go BC, humanist women of color gather together, that's pretty cool, and, well, I guess my conversation with Cynthia McDonald was prescient. I don't know if that's the right word, but Bigfoot was spotted recently near an eagle's nest camera. So they're going to be talking about that today. Yeah, I know. I want to know more about it. So I myself will be tuning in to find out more.
Oh, same. I'm always here for Bigfoot. But if you also want to know more about what's going on in the ACA community, we've got an updated website. So you can go over to www.atheist-community.org, where you can learn about the organization, its policies, and how you can get involved. But also, we want to hear from you. So if you like something, you had a specific question about a call, anything that you think we could do better, you can email us at tv@atheist-community.org and let us know what you thought. But as Johnny just mentioned, there are plenty of other shows on the ACA network. We've got Talk Heathen, The Nonprofit, Secular Sexuality, Truth Wanted, and The Atheist Experience. And if you didn't catch all of the shows last week, here's a taste of all of the things that you missed.
It doesn't have to go super fast. It doesn't have to go super slow. It can go whatever pace that you want it to be, because you don't have to care about another person in the room. It's one of the best parts about masturbation is nobody else is there.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want.
I feel like I'm going to put this on and I want to learn about QAnon. And why do I have this? I don't know. But teach me.
John just put on a cloud nose inexplicably. I think that's a QAnon is what I'm going to call that.
QAnon!
QAnon.
You don't have freedom from religion. Well, that's right, I don't have freedom from religion. But I still have the right to tell you to f off if you're trying to impose it on me, and f off if you're trying to impose it on my children. I still have that right.
This water has magic powers now. Does that mean that this water has magic powers just because I said it? Or do we need some other way of verification?
Yeah, well, you need to be a reliable source.
I'm a super
somebody
reliable source.
Is trustworthy.
I'm incredibly trustworthy.
The oceans and all of the rivers on Earth are supposed to turn into blood. Did we miss that?
It has happened. It is happening in China. It's happening in India.
The ocean is turning to blood in China and India? What are you talking about?
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, everybody. And another big, fun announcement is that if you can arrange to be in Austin between November 17th through the 20th, you can join us at the studio audience at the ACA Freethought Library for live broadcasts of Secular Sexuality, Truth Wanted, Talk Heathen, and The Atheist Experience. Doors open at 6 p.m. on Thursday and Friday and on noon on Sunday. And parking is wherever you can find a legal spot after the lot is full. So try to get there early if you can. But it's okay. If you can't make it there this month, we'll continue doing these live broadcasts from the library at the last week of every single month. So keep watching this show on the website, atheist-community.org, for news and information as we expand our in-studio offerings in the near future.
The live shows are a lot of fun.
So.
They are a lot
of fun. Oh, they're so much fun. I got to do one with Johnny not too long ago. I highly recommend it if you can be in the area for those. But what do you think about, we've got some interesting callers on the line here. So let's talk to Kay, he, him in London. What is your topic today, Kay? You are live.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, doing hey. All right. How about you?
Yeah, good. Always pleased to tune into the show and get educated. But I'll get straight to it.
You're moving toward atheism. You feel like you have no purpose in life. Is that right? You feel like you have no purpose?
Yeah, so just to explain why I feel like that. I was a Jehovah's Witness for 34 years. I'm 3 years out of that now. So I was brought up believing that, you know, we were moving towards Armageddon, and then after Armageddon, there'd be a new world where everything would be, you know, peaceful, and we'd have whatever we wanted and no problems. And I was always following God's purpose for me and believed I'd been drawn to him and all of that kind of rubbish. And then when you come out of that and you kind of start seeing all the holes in the religion and then do more research and what shows like you guys are putting on about atheism, you see the big cracks in believing in any God. For me, I just feel like now that if that's all true, which I, you know, I'm probably about 70% there, you know, what is the purpose of my life? And the only thing I'm coming up with is to just be a good person in my life. But that's so small in comparison to what I used to believe was my purpose.
I hear you. It's small in the sense that you're no longer a soldier in a cosmic battle, that you're not on the side of the light against the darkness, and that you will not be living in paradise with a literal God King for all of time, in eternal bliss and servitude. But it does have the advantage that it's real, and more importantly than it being real, that you can actually dedicate your life to trying to improve the lives of others and to in a demonstrable way, right? You are now rooted in reality. You are not punting to a future life. You are in this life. This is the only life that you have. You don't get to, well, I'll just be nice to them when I see them in heaven. Or I don't have to be, and if I don't see them there, well, then they're going to hell, or they're going to the abyss, and I have an eternity to live a more important life. The advantage that you have now, the purpose you have now, is making every damn second count. And truly being human, right? And humans are social creatures. And although we are individuals, we are also bound to each other in a way. And so now that you are stepping away from arguably a fantasy, you can spend your time figuring out how to make the world a better place for yourself and every other human being, to make this a more human-centric world. And for those vegans out there, you can incorporate animals as well. You can make their lives better if that's something that you can do. Again, it's not a nice, clear path that's been cleared for you by the Prince of Peace, but it is your path. It is unique. I've said this before, but in the entire history of the universe, there has only been one K, he, him from London. Only one. And who better than you to determine what your life's purpose is? I can't tell you what you should do. I don't know what tickles your fancy. I don't know what foods you like. I don't know what your passions are. Been things that are perfectly valid ways to spend my time that people have suggested to me because they like them, because they find them meaningful. Areas of the law, professions, musical instruments, hobbies. Nothing wrong with those things. Causes, absolutely important causes. But for whatever reason, something in my background has led me to in a different direction. And so I do that. You can do that too. And I'll tell you what, you're going to be spending the rest of your life working at it. The things that you're passionate about now may not be the things that you're passionate about in 30 years. It's a little bit, well, it actually is, like doing a trapeze act without a net, but that's where the excitement's at. In the end, you will lose because you will die, but you can play as hard as you can throughout the rest of it until that happens and make it count. So it's not a perfectly satisfying answer, but that's my answer.
I think you know, I have thought about kind of what you're saying, the sentiment of it, but I think at the moment it's just not good enough, and I think that's maybe sometimes not wanting to accept the truth of something because it's not convenient. You know, and the other thing is I've got bipolar disorder, and it's very disruptive to my life. And obviously, when you believe that God's going to take that away at some point, to have you know, when I kind of face suicidal thoughts, you know, at that time it was, well, if you just hang on another day, you know, it could be tomorrow that God steps in and changes the world and heals me. But now that I know that's not coming, it's a bit, it kind of almost makes it, well, you know, what's the point? But my other question would be, did either of you two come out of religion and face this dilemma or challenge?
Absolutely. And I'm still working through that on my own, because I agree, it's difficult to think through, oh, wow, like, I have no assigned purpose, and it sometimes feels fake to think, oh, I am just going to choose whatever I want to do in life. It seems not like a very good answer sometimes, and I agree with you there. For me, I deconverted kind of right before I went to medical school, and for me, medicine has kind of played into how I look at this situation. In fact, it's made me more empathetic, I think, as a clinician. I think before it was very easy to shrug off people's suffering because I could say, well, this is God's plan for them. Like, it sucks, but they're going to be feeling better in the afterlife or whatever comes next. Like, God's going to take care of them. But now I find a lot of meaning and purpose in reducing their suffering. And I have that empathy to engage with them and say, this is their one life. I don't want them to go through this horrible suffering and potentially have this horrible suffering be the very end of their life. I don't want to see these people in the hospital dying before their family can visit them. I'm seeing some very traumatic things happening, and knowing that that's their one chance at life and this is the way it's going to happen for them, it makes me much more motivated to alleviate that in some way. It keeps me motivated to push through days that I might just want to go home and not want to be there. So I think for me, at least, the having my own purpose is great, but more so for me, it's been, how can I use my life to improve the lives of others and somehow alleviate some of the suffering in this world? So I don't know if that's a way you can approach it. It seems very hollow from any direction. I understand it feels very hollow of a sentiment, but I don't think there's really an easy way to get through that. And I maybe even recommend talking to somebody about it and figuring out what things motivate you, kind of what makes you want to, what things that make you happy and things that make you want to engage with this reality. So I know it seems kind of hollow, but does that help at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I'm also aware that I still really struggle with cognitive dissonance when it comes to believing whether the Jehovah's Witnesses are the true religion or believing atheism versus a creator. And I'm hoping just the more I study and look at it, which I do every day, I watch, you know, atheist stuff every day and try and read what I can. And I'm just hoping the longer I'm out, and maybe as that cognitive dissonance gets less and less, then maybe I'll be able to handle this issue a bit better, really.
Okay. Do you volunteer right now? Are you engaged? What do you do?
I work on a suicide line here in England.
Man, okay. That is important work. Okay. How long have you been doing that?
2 years.
Okay, that's fantastic. I don't do that. I don't think I could. I mean, I think I could, but I that's one of those things where, although I think it would really be difficult for me to do that, because that's a lot of, it's very, very compassionate work to do what you're doing, and I give you credit for that. Can I suggest also that you find something that is not merely preventing the destruction of the one life that those callers have, and don't stop doing that. Please don't stop doing that. But building something, you know, building something. Some friends of mine back home, they do community gardening, urban gardening in areas where there aren't gardens, right? They and their kids teach other kids and other people in, you know, economically deprived areas that do not have a lot of beauty as far as natural beauty is concerned. They set up planter boxes and they work with people in the neighborhood. And then those people get excited and they help others. Being part of something that's growing, something that is positive and constructive, in addition to the important work that you're doing right now, you might find that to be more encouraging. But the reason why I mention it is because when the experts say, what are the things that help contribute to happiness and meaning in life? It's community. That's such a cheesy word. Friends, connectedness with the society that you live in, and a giving of your time. You've done that. You are doing that, and I hope you'll continue to do that. If you're feeling isolated, or if you're feeling low, if you're feeling depressed, Ben's right. Talk to somebody. Get help. Get assistance. I'm sure that you are already doing that. You've considered it. You've done it in the past, but it's smart. The smart move is to get assistance from experts when you can get them, right? And it sounds like you might be able to do so. But continue to try to find a way to immerse yourself in the common humanity that we all have. And maybe something that, you know, you're doing the Lord's work. Maybe do something that's a little bit fun that is community related, you know? Like I said, my friends that do the planter boxes, litter cleanup, I don't know. Soup kitchens might be a little bit low, but those people need help. They need food. They need services brought to them. And you know, the answer isn't what's so strange about it is what Ben said is it might seem hollow. It may very well seem hollow, and I've thought about that too. And yet, in those times when I have become involved in dedicating my time to a cause that I believe in, not limited to the ACA, I have found that I feel more connected. I feel like my life has a actual grounded meaning, even though I know that I myself will discontinue someday. And it sounds like fake it till you make it. And in a way it is, because in a way life is fake it till you make it. And then ultimately you don't make it, because we don't go to heaven. We just stop. At least that's what it seems like to me. But yeah, just because you were promised by charlatans that you're going to get $1 billion when you turn 25 doesn't mean that when you find out that you didn't get $1 billion, that you've been deprived of anything meaningful, right? The $1 billion never existed. It was a fabrication that has been told to you to keep you in line. So that's, yeah. What is your response to that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think when you talk about are you doing anything for charity or volunteering, I do that once a week, and it's the best thing I do every week, really. You know, and there's often I don't want to go. You know, you can't be bothered or you've had a rough day yourself, but you go there and you speak to people, and you know, I come out of there and I think, you know, that's the best thing I've done all week. And it, you know, ironically, this is a bit funny, but you know, sometimes we focus on the worst parts of the Bible, but I suppose the golden rule of, you know, helping other people applies.
Yeah.
You know, it does give you probably the greatest satisfaction, you know, and I try and be grateful as well. Like I don't earn a lot of money, but I'm very happy with what I've got, despite struggling with the whole greater purpose thing, you know. And when you go on the suicide line and you speak to people in shocking circumstances, you know, it really kind of grounds you and makes you grateful for what you've got.
Well said, Kay. I did a million years ago, a friend of mine and I volunteered at a women's shelter. And I was in college, or I was out of college. It was a women's shelter with kids. And we taught a class on how to be financially independent, how to manage finances, how to be a good tenant. And it seemed kind of absurd that I was doing this because I was a college kid at the time. But we did it. We did it in all earnestness. We put everything we had into it. And we offered certificates to the women who graduated from the program. And the certificates didn't amount to anything, really. Like, it wasn't legal, but it was a thing to show, once they got out of the shelter, potential landlords that they were trying to get the hell out of a shelter, get away from the bad stuff in the past, that maybe they didn't have the financial skills that they needed in the past, but they were working toward it. And my God, it was really real. Those people were, not every single person, there was one woman who was like, I don't need any of this stuff. And another woman said, honey, you're in a homeless shelter. Okay. You're going to have to get what you need out of this and go with it. I felt really, really rooted in reality. And I'm grateful to this day. Why didn't I continue to do it? I'll tell you why. I was a lazy ass college kid and I didn't want to do it. I enjoyed it in the moment, but then, you know, the currents of idiotude took me someplace else. And for years, I did not have any regular, meaningful way to donate my time and energy. Very self-indulgent, and also law school, allegedly, that kept me busy. But but it was something that was missing in my life. And once I did become more involved in this particular cause that we're doing here today, it nudged me a little more forward toward compassionate for my fellow human beings. A little bit less of me. I know I'm a talking head right now, and I'm doing a lot of talking, but like, it's less about this, and it's more about all the people out there in YouTubeville, right, who have these kind of questions, Kay, and that's the reason why I do it, and I find it to be very beneficial. This is a testimonial. I find it to be very meaningful and beneficial for my own search for meaning, and I'm with you. I'm with Ben. When I left atheism, when I kind of faded out, or left theism, kind of faded away from belief and all that stuff, struggled for many years with what the hell am I going to do with the remaining 60 years of my life. Well, now it's less than 60. You know, that was a long time ago. Still the same questions, but I've gotten hints from the things that I did as to how I can stay engaged for the rest of my days. So I'd encourage you to continue to do that and lean on that good feeling that you get from helping others.
Brilliant.
Did that seem to help? Are you feeling a little bit better about the issue?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's just good to talk about it with, you know, because when you come out of the Jehovah's Witnesses, everyone shuns you, so you don't have anyone to talk to, really. So it's nice to just have someone to talk to about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, have you heard of Recovering from Religion? I know that we've talked about this organization a lot, but I want to mention it for you and for anyone in the audience that might be struggling with the same thing. It might be really nice to talk to volunteers trained on how to address these very specific issues. Yeah. So if you haven't called them already, I strongly recommend you do. Because Johnny and I can talk about our own experiences, but neither one of us are trained to really address this specific issue. So I recommend going to them if you're still feeling this way after this call.
Sure. All right, I'll check them out. That'd be good.
All right. Well, with that, I think we're going to move on. But it was really nice chatting with you, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Cool.
All right.
Are we going to go on to another call then?
Yeah, but first, we have some patrons that we'd like to thank. So every week we like to shout out the top five patrons. Johnny, would you like to read our list today?
Yes, I would. I'm going to start with Eric Tweet, Dingleberry Jackson. Not Dinglebree. Dingleberry. Ayame, the bearded skeptic of TikTok. Oh boy. Kalevi Helveti, an honorable mention. Oh, someone moved the thing. An honorable mention, Ali Shable, I believe it is. Thank you so much for your contribution to us. We do appreciate it. It helps us, you know, keep on doing these shows. And if you want to get involved, if you want to get your name on this list, you know what to do. You go to tiny.cc/patreonth and make your donations there. But again, you don't have to give us money. You can give us, you know, you can share these videos. You can discuss these topics. You can continue to be a positive exemplar of non-believing humanity in the communities that you live in. And I think if we keep on doing what we're doing, the numbers are going to keep on tilting, and eventually we will not be living in a on-the-brink theocracy that we're always afraid of.
Absolutely.
You know.
But if you are able to contribute and if you want to be featured in the top five patrons of the week next time, you can go to patreon.com/talkheathentome and maybe we'll see your name on the list next time and read it out on the air.
That's right.
So.
That's right. Who do you like? What do you got?
I want to talk to Joseph.
I want Joseph too. Yeah, let's do that.
I want Joseph.
Go for it.
Hello.
Hi, Joseph. It says that you want to talk about Christian mythicism. What do you want to say about that? That looks interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, one of the most powerful myths, according to Christians, you know, personally, is the heaven and hell myths. It's what keeps them believing. It's what gives them hope, et cetera, et cetera. There are others, but I've had this idea for a number of years now, and I'm really surprised no one else has like come up with this. So I want to put this out there for all the graphic designers and professional communicators out there. I want to spread a meme. And I want to explain it. It's going to take a little while to explain, but I've got like two main points. That was one, the heaven and hell myth is really strong. A lot of the Christians believe in it. The major motivating factor for them. And then the second premise, I guess, here is that, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but for me, I think it's very important for the people of the United States to transition from fossil fuel-based energy to renewable energy. So that would be wind and solar and hydroelectric, geothermal, et cetera. I understand it's a difficult transition, and I understand that the carbon-based fuel is the cheapest and easiest to get at the moment.
Joseph,
so, I'm going to stop you right there.
Joseph.
Sure.
I agree with what you're saying, okay? That we are we are shooting ourselves in the foot and increasingly aiming higher with a continued heavy reliance on fossil fuels. And for those folks out there who think that Johnny Angel is being naive, I'm not suggesting that we just discontinue fossil fuels immediately. I know that that would have a catastrophic effect upon every aspect of our lives. However, a heavy shift toward renewable fuels is the way to go. However, that's not what you called about. You actually called about, and I'm going to read this.
Right.
I have a plan to use Christian mythicism to our advantage in a way that Christian nationalists use their religion to discredit our side of separation of church and state. So aside from the environmental message, again, I completely agree with you. Of course, you know, a lot of religious people don't believe that environmentalism is something we need to care about because God's going to...
Exactly.
But let's focus back on this Christian mythicism.
Yeah. I'm bringing it back around. Okay, so... I'm really nervous. Sorry. I just lost my train of thought. One last point is would you agree that there are a certain number of the Christians who just simply are not going to be convinced no matter what? There's a certain amount of population in the United States that just has their minds closed. They will not think in a different way, et cetera. So if you also agree with that, and I think what we should do with those people is turn that heaven and hell to our advantage. And here would be how.
Okay.
Renewable energies come from heaven. The fossil fuels come from the realm of the netherworld. It's very simple. It's very easy. You could come up with all kinds of graphics to illustrate that.
So, in a visual medium. I get where you're going with this, but at the same time, like, this just sounds like more propaganda. Like, it's fighting propaganda with propaganda. And especially, like, for one thing, of claiming that this one thing comes from heaven and this one other thing comes from hell, it's just throwing more false claims out there that then we'd have to justify. And I think that's putting us in a very weird argumentative position, but also is that like thinking, I guess we're getting here an interesting ethical dilemma of what is the lesser of two evils here? Is it worse to start more propaganda that we know to be false in an attempt to reach an end goal of, you know, reducing some of the carbon footprint, or is it more ethical to not use that propaganda and just hope for the best with the tactics we already have, or any other way of not utilizing fiction to aid in our ideas? I don't know. This. What do you think, Johnny?
I'll leave it. Okay, go ahead, Johnny.
No. I want to hear your response to what Ben just said.
Yeah.
Well, my response is how is that ethics working for you in the abortion battle?
Well, so I think that's unrelated, but it's the thing is like
do you really think that the Christians have nothing
to do? I don't think we need to lie to perpetuate our ideas. I don't think that is the right way to go about it. I get that you're coming from an ends justify the means perspective, and I don't see eye to eye with you on that because I think it's dishonest.
I wouldn't be proposing this if I didn't see the other side doing it every single day.
Okay.
Well, they do. But the fact that they're using dishonest argumentation does not mean that we should then also engage in dishonest argumentation. That's my point here.
Joseph?
Okay, then I suppose we're going to lose.
Joseph, make your meme. But it's kind of a
That's not my bag. I don't do that. I'm not a graphic artist. Okay. I don't produce things like that. I'm not a great communicator, as you can tell.
It's really easy to make memes. If you really like internet memes with the little words on the top and the words on the bottom, I do it all the time whenever I feel like it. But the truth is,
I'm an old fart, and I don't do internet stuff.
I'm going to go ahead and mute you because I think there's a delay, and I have to mute somebody at least once per show. Otherwise, I don't feel fulfilled. It's like I have to have snow every Christmas. But Joseph, it's kind of a terrible idea. But I think the world's going to be ruined. I think humor has been used recently to poke holes in the arrogant stupidity of some of the religious claims that we've seen, right? Atheist social media is a flood with humorous posts about the absurdities of Christianity. And I'm sure that there's plenty for Islam, and I'm sure that the Buddhists have a good time too. But this is not going to cure our problems with regard to fossil fuels. I think the fact is, I believe our dependence on fossil fuels and our choosing to ignore the reality of the science of global climate change is going to get in the face of humanity fairly soon. I don't know if it'll be within my lifetime. I've studied this kind of stuff. I'm not an expert. I've studied this kind of stuff for quite some time. And I do believe it's going to get in our face. It's going to be an obstacle for humanity's progress. So we're gonna have to deal with it sooner or later, hopefully later, but I think we will eventually deal with it. When you see companies starting to greenwash their messaging, when you see other countries and companies diversifying their energy production into other areas besides fossil fuels, including ExxonMobil and Shell and entities like that, putting their resources into renewable fuels, you see that the experts take it seriously. When politicians are taking action to preserve their properties near coastlines, they talk one side of their mouth, they say it's not real, and the other side of their mouth, they're taking actual demonstrable measures to protect their properties because of the damage that will come from global climate change, including purchasing properties in the Miami area that are higher in elevation because they know it's coming, and the lower in elevation areas near the waterfront are in danger of being taken over by rising ocean levels. However, I'm with Ben. I don't think that we need to sink to the depths of magical thinking. I think the snarky aspect of it is fun. But I think that creating an alternative myth for those people who you say cannot be convinced that fossil fuels are bad, I don't think that's the answer. First off, I don't believe that anyone is immune. I think that even the hack politicians that are in bed with the fossil fuel industry, you know, these cynical, money-grubbing, short-term, I got to get reelected, I'll get in bed with anybody I need to get in bed with to get reelected and get their millions of dollars in campaign donations, they can be convinced. I think that the Creflo Dollar-type charlatan preachers who preach up a storm about the end times and how we don't need to worry about global warming because the world's going to end before it ever gets to that point, and also it's God's plan. None of these people are immune to arguments. And while I'll agree with you that the other side, I'm doing a lot of talking here, Ben, sorry about that, but while I do agree that the other side does adhere and continuously slams so many of our fellow humans in the head with tinker toy, simplistic kindergarten understandings of the way that the world works, the way that biology works, the way that society is structured, the way good and evil is that we are in an information age. We are in an age where we are awash with good, bad, uncertain information. And I just don't think that adding more crap information to cloud the truth is the answer. I do believe that a concerted effort to get out accurate information and engage in dialogue and root out bad information is the plan to go forward. To talk about, you made mention of the abortion debate. I'll tell you, the reason why I'm sick is because my clothes got so wet from that red wave. You know, I got so soaked with that red wave water. Well, guess what? That red wave water, I think in large part, did not happen. That was supposed to be a joke. Is that those simplistic fairy tales that these hack politicians and their religious freak backers, right, did not sink into the electorate. They're willing to entertain fantasy stories to a degree. But when it actually hits them where it counts, right, then I think they don't take it anymore. And I think that that's where the truth is. Unrelenting, polite, effective communication of true facts, I think, is the way for humanity to get out of this sinkhole that we're in. So that was probably like 10 minutes of me. What do you got to say, Joseph?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. And I do want to say, I do agree with the differentiation between humor and satire and discussion and conversation. I think there's definitely a place for humor. And we do see satire being very effective as a tool. But I do think that, like, if we were to do something like a meme campaign, like, that would definitely, like, that's being read as humor. And it's known that this is a satirical method. And I think it's fine as long as we keep it in the realm of satire. But I think when it crosses the line from we're saying this is satire to this is a position that we are pretending to hold to essentially pander to a certain group of people, that's where I think it becomes a problem, because then we're blurring the lines for what our actual argument is. And I think that can be a problem. And especially if we're going to go and address these other groups of people and ask them for their arguments and for their data and for their justification, I can't see us being in a similar boat where we're not offering up arguments with good verification and good data and good rhetoric. So that's, I don't know, do you still have thoughts on that? Are we reaching like more of agreement, or are we getting farther apart? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'd just like to clarify that I'm not conflating Christians with climate deniers. I understand they're completely separate and there's only a little bit of overlap. So I'm not conflating those two. And the people I was saying were remain eternally invincible are the ones who are clinging to the religion, not the ones who are clinging to the climate change being false. I'd like to give a short analogy, if I could. The people I want to reach are the following. Say humanity's on a ship, okay? And there's a small group of people drilling holes in the bottom of the hull under the impression that they're doing what the captain wants. And they're not going to stop drilling because the captain wants it. So what you do instead is you run around to those certain people, you give them some, you give them a patch kit and say, this is a drill and this is what the captain wants you to use on the ship. So that's kind of what all I'm doing. You lie to these people who are drilling holes in the ship, because otherwise you're all going to sink. That's the analogy. Yeah, that I'm kind of going with, and I
okay.
But see how good I am with these visual setups and things, right?
I got you.
I'd love to see is a Super Bowl commercial where it has the oil executive's faces morphing into Satan and all kinds of graphics showing oil being extracted from the depths of hell and God shining divine light onto solar panels and blowing his own breath onto windmills and stuff like that. So I'll just leave it at that. You guys are the professional communicators. I have no idea what I'm doing in that regard to try to convince other people, because when I say the sky is blue, most people look up to make sure it's not green. So
yeah,
I appreciate all the time you've given and your opinions and everything. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Joseph. I want to say that I appreciate that we had a call that involved the problems of religiosity, that did not involve abortion, that did not involve vaccine stuff, that did not involve LGBTQ stuff. Great that we're talking about those issues, but we never really talk about the environment. And I know that there's going to be people in chat, in the comments too, that will say the usual, the old reliable comment, which is, why are we talking about these issues? I wanted to tune in to watch people destroy people, their stupid religious claims. Well, again, now this is something we do on the nonprofits on a regular basis aboard the flagship. You're all welcome to come aboard, by the way. That we talk about how these toxic religious memes that have woven their way through history, literature, and society, and government, and all kinds of other things, have a negative effect in the real world. They affect the way people vote. They affect the way people identify and behave, the way they raise children, and what have you. And it affects the way we look at the world we live in, including our use of fossil fuels, renewable energy, and things like that. Our caller said that there's a small overlap between the religious and climate deniers. I don't know how small that overlap is. I suspect that most evangelicals, and I don't have the data, are climate change deniers. Ben, what do you think about that?
I would agree with you.
Yeah. We have atheists that are climate change deniers. In fact, I was playing a board game recently with somebody, and he made some obnoxious comment about how the scientists don't know what they're talking about. And I said, oh, but the politicians and the executives, they do. They do know what they're talking about, of course. And he's not a believer. It's an uncomfortable truth. I don't want to say that, but it's a difficult conversation to have, that the world we live in, the luxuries that we enjoy, are dependent upon irresponsible and I can't think of the word, but irresponsible consumption of fuel. And as humanists, we have to accept the reality of the world that we live in, right? That there are, that fossil fuels are limited, that they do have an effect. Somebody in the comments said anthropogenic climate change. Yes, exactly. The climate change that is caused by human action, right? You will find scientists who do not maintain that humans have an effect upon upon global climate change. You will also find that, a significant number of them, the majority of them, are working for, well, let's just say, companies who benefit from the continued use of fossil fuels. But the scientific consensus is that anthropogenic climate change is real. And as humanists, we need to weigh in on this. We don't have an exit strategy to heaven or moksha or Valhalla or Stovelkor or wherever the hell is that people believe they're going to, okay? This is our world. All of our children will be living in this world. And there are some technocrats that would have us live on the inhospitable rock of Mars, but it's the same problem there too. We need to learn to temper our waste. And if we're true humanists, I don't know, we need to think about that kind of stuff. So that's 20 minutes of me ranting, Ben. Your thoughts? Sorry.
Well, but definitely, if you want to have more discussion on these kinds of topics and you want to hear more about how religiosity is impacting everyday life, be sure to check out the newest version of the ACA show, The Nonprofits, which, as Johnny mentioned, has an amazing panel and some great discussion topics. And that is airing live at 3 p.m. Central Time today at tiny.cc/YTNP. And you can see me over there in that chat. You can probably see Johnny over there in that chat. So be sure to watch that after this show today. Also, again, there are ways that you can support the ACA and Talk Heathen. Below the chat, there is that fundraiser where 100% of the proceeds go directly to the ACA, and YouTube does not take any cut from that. Also, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, share out the videos to your friends, leave some comments in the comment section letting us know what you liked and what you didn't like. Make sure that you go and become a channel member if you are interested in getting those fun emotes of me face palming, and you see Johnny P. Angel's face in there as well. So if you want to use those fun emotes in the side chat, be sure to become a channel member. Click the join button below the video, and that's how you get those fun rewards. Also, you can join us on Patreon at tiny.cc/patreonth to be featured in our top 5 patrons of the week. We also have a channel that houses all of the shows of the ACA in audio podcast form. So you can visit tiny.cc/AEN podcast. And if you want to become part of the Talk Heathen community in our fan-run Facebook page and continue these discussions, you can go to tiny.cc/FBTHG. And I know that I'm skeptical about whether or not, you know, heroes like Superman, Batman, et cetera, exist in our universe. We don't know about them, but we do know about some other fantastic superheroes, and they are in the crew. So can we go to the crew cam? These people work very hard every week to help us run the show smoothly so I can just sit here and rant and Johnny P can rank well. So thank you to the awesome crew. And Johnny, would you like to throw out some love rings? Give the audience some love rings. To all of our viewers, whether or not you believe, if you are an essential worker, we want to thank you. And I know this past week was Veterans Day. So thank you to everybody who has served in the military, and we are very grateful for your service. If you do not believe, this is your community. You can find us here in the live studio at the last week of every month. I hope to see you there in the near future. And if you do believe, we don't hate you. We're just not convinced.
Thank you. We want the truth. So watch Truth Wanted live Friday at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTTW and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callTW.